excuse me, at 8:30 at a regular time, it will be live. So please don't miss that. Secondly, there is a banquet welcoming Imam Warthi Muhammad for next Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available from Brother Abdul Rahman, Nadia, Brother Muhammad Yusuf Ali, Brother Zarif, and others. So please see them. Next, we have an order for a collective buying, and I'd like to ask you, by a show of hands, make a decision on what items we'll be ordering for next week. There are three items I want you to think about, then I'll call for a simple show of hands to see what the majority wants. The first is small white beans. Second is long grain brown rice. The third is honey. I want you to select two of those three. How many of you want small white beans? Okay, thank you. How many long grain brown rice? I see a little more majority there, okay. How many of you honey? Same majority. Those two items you selected for order for collective buying will be long grain brown rice and honey. The way to purchase these will be through a prepaid order of $15 per family. We will be taking the money next Friday, Juma. That will be the last day money can be turned in. There will be a table set up for this. Lastly, let me remind you of the flea market that's going on by the Oakland Masjid Ensemble. The fee for the booth is $5. The persons have done very well in terms of the amount of money that they've made. Some have made as much as $200 yesterday. So the opportunity is here. Please use it. Also, please remember to support our classes, Thursday night class, Sunday morning class as well for on Bible and Quran. Also, today's menu, spaghetti dinners served with squash, salad, and garlic bread, $3. Chili beans and rice for $1.50. Halal chicken and salad sandwiches for $1. And peach crisp for 50 cents along with coffee. I'd like to announce again, the banquet for Imam Warthi bin Muhammad is going to be next Saturday, the 24th, at 7:30 p.m., the Elijah Muhammad Cultural Center. The cost is $7 per person.
We have tickets on sale right now. Brother Harissa has tickets. Yusuf Ali has tickets. Yusuf Ali has tickets. I have tickets. Tickets on sale right now. $7 per person.
Alhamdulillah. I have no other announcements. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
I was told that children will be able to come in with the parent. Is that right? That's right. That's right. Children will be able to come in with the under 12. Is that? If children under 12, they say, will be able to come in with the parent on the parent ticket. So that's good. That's a real bargain. This coming Thursday, I believe, is the meeting for the scriptural study class. Yes. Dawah class. At this coming Thursday. At what time? At 7, that's right. This coming Thursday at 7. And I understand that the cultural ensemble, they meet too, I believe. On Wednesday, what time? At 7:30. 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And that's all here in this building here upstairs, I believe. I see. Oh, all right. So those who attend the cultural ensemble meetings, then you know where to go. So we hope to be here with you Thursday then. Yes, sir. And the imams in the immediate area here, Oakland and surrounding area, we will meet, what is that? Is that Saturday? What time is that? Saturday. We'll come Saturday for the midday prayer little prayer, and right immediately after prayer, we'll have our imam class. All right. So I believe. Yes, we might have Imam Hamidullah in. I invited him. If he comes to Los Angeles, he expected to come to Los Angeles this coming Sunday, and I invited him to come here one day before he returns. He's a very fine imam. He has headed the program for establishing and operating a college, teachers training college, and he has done a very good job. He really impressed me with his leadership there in Chicago. And he's a young man because he's only 32, I believe, about 32 years old. He has a beautiful wife and two fine girls. And he doesn't bite his tongue. He's not afraid to say he's a Muslim. And not afraid to tell other people that their best bet is to be Muslims too. So I admire him for that kind of character. Especially in the situation that many of you live in now, you know. You're intimidated from all sides. You're made to believe that you're going to pay a price that will really set you back and ruin your life if you really stand up honest and faithfully for this religion. So they make it very hard for our people. And believe me, I know what's going on. They watch everybody that come near me. And they screen them. Most of them that come to me, they have already been screened by the enemies. And those that manage to get past, they're thought to be nuts, people that ain't capable of doing anything positive or constructive, you see. Those are the only ones they allow some time to get past, and they manage to get to me before they're indoctrinated or worked on and conditioned by the enemy. So I'm aware of this, and they worked on most of the imams that are working with me, you know. But our medicine is stronger. Yeah, our medicine is stronger, and time is proving this. And in time, we're going to get those people that they got in their dungeon. Right. Oh, yeah. They're going to help us. There's no decent, intelligent reason for any African-American or any one of the American people, period, to stay away from this religion, especially as I represent it. No intelligent, decent reason. They have no intelligent, decent reason at all. Right. So we know what's going on, but this is a test to show the world that Allah is the eternal, the almighty, aware of all things, and is always in charge. Always in charge. So this is a test, and I welcome it. I thank Allah for the opportunity to be a part of it. That's right, and I do. So we hope that he'll have time to come here and address the community, because I find that he is really a good influence on the community and membership. He's a serious imam. He really has the school and education in his heart and before him as major priority. He's aware of our people's deficiencies, social, cultural deficiencies. And he works hard to get our people to see that the brightest days in our past were Islamic days, days of Islamic glory. And that the brightest days in our future most likely have to be the same, days of Islamic glory. And I think he's got a sound argument. Because when you study the African past, The glory peaks in that African past represent Islamic achievements of the people under al-Islam. And the decline of the religion in Africa, I would say, the coup d'etat that was pulled by the West on the African nations that were Islamic represents the decline of African man, African civilization, and African culture. And history tells us that, plain as day. They read in the schools about the great Mali Empire, the great this, the great Songhai, the great that, Timbuktu. And they pass over the fact that those people were Muslims. They were Muslims. Right today, the most progressive state in Africa is predominantly Muslim. That's Nigeria. And it really speaks for the tolerance of the Islamic religion. Because there they have Christian and Muslim cooperating with each other and maintaining a thriving, peaceful country. It speaks for the tolerance of both religions, in fact. But since the Muslims are in the majority, I think it speaks more for the tolerance of the Islamic religion. The mistake that Christianity made when it went to other cultures was that it refused to accept the validity of those cultures. And it, instead of incorporating in its movement to build upon humanity, the sound basis and life of humanity, what it did was disregard and rejected the progress that the people had already realized as growing societies. Whereas with al-Islam, it was different. Prophet Muhammad and his early companions and early leaders, they didn't do that because they knew that was against our religion. They didn't tell people they had to change their culture in order to be Muslim. They told them to modify your culture to make it stronger with al-Islam as a guide. And that's different. So even today, in spite of what some of the ignorant leaders in al-Islam have done since the early leadership of al-Islam, we still find today African nations, African people who are Muslims, but they still are distinctly African. They are still distinctly African. And you find that also in Asia. Chinese who are Muslim, but they are distinctly Chinese. And that's where it should be all over the world. Whereas Christianity tried to make us white folks and Europeans, they disregarded the history, the good history, the development of the people, the good bases that were already established, the good habits, the good traditions that were already established, and they then wouldn't tolerate them because they jealous, they envied. It wasn't the religion, it was the mentality of those people who carried the religion that was responsible for the way they butchered up the societies of the world. So much for that. I ain't angry. I don't hate nobody. I love everybody. As-salamu alaykum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani r-rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. As-salamu alaykum.
said, "Brother, we made him, and we can destroy him in the twinkling of an eye." Now, if the same one made us, don't you know secretly they bought both the same thing? We made them. We can destroy them in the twinkling of an eye. Who can they destroy in the twinkling of an eye? The only Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam.
That's right.
And they did it. After the Nation of Islam had achieved its purpose for them, they destroyed the Nation of Islam in the twinkling of an eye. They brought in bad moral influences, and then the materialistic ideas became the very thing to unseat the Nation of Islam. That's right. Yeah. But they had no idea that a baby would escape the destruction. Allah say, "They plan, and I plan, and I'm the best of planners." All praise due to Allah. Now, let's see here that we cover what we wanted to get here. The highest order in the Christian religion, whether you recognize it or not, is not the Baptists or the Protestants, the Catholics. Catholics represent a protest movement. I mean, the Protestants represent what it says, protest movement. A movement to get more recognition for the masses in the religious establishment. But the real hierarchy is still the Catholic Church. All right? Now, they call their clothes vestments. Vestments. Now, what is the meaning of divestment? To take authority away. Is that right? Or the act of taking away authority. So they call their clothes authority. Vestment, authority. They are saying to the rest of the world that the authority is with us. Some of the other preachers and religious, they call it vestments too. But the Catholics, they really use that term almost religiously. Vestments for their clothes, And they have more clothes than anybody else. No kidding. The priest, depending on how high he is, the higher he go, the more clothes. Oh, he take off clothes, you think he undressed? He take off one, he ain't undressed. Another one, he still ain't undressed. Another one, and another one, and another one. He got on about 16, 20 or more pieces. I forget how many pieces, a lot of clothes. He's covered up in a lot of different clothes. Come down now to something related to the subject, and that is the word shine. S-H-I-N-E. Shine. Now, you know, the Bible speaks a lot about the light shining. Let the light shine. And they used to sing a lot of spiritual about, "Let my light shine, a little light gonna shine, it shine, shine, shine." A lot of spiritual about shine. So shine is also talking about wisdom. Shiny metals are precious metals. So, you know, if you say he's bright, it means he's what? Learned, intelligent, right? So shine means the same thing, shine. Now, shoe shine. Shoe shine. Why shoe shining is so popular in the West? You got to get a shoe shine. Because the fundamental knowledge to them is where the tension should be. How do we know this?
Jesus instructed his disciples to wash their feet and to wash each other's feet. Right? Attention is on feet in Christianity. He was seen balancing himself on the water, his feet upon the water. Right? Feet. The attention is on feet. Mary Magdalene is seen in the New Testament crying at his feet and using her hair and tears to clean Jesus' feet. Right? So the attention is on feet. We know that. The attention is on feet. So in the Western society, shoe shining is very important. But they don't like to have, they enjoy the white man, Caucasian European man. He enjoys having a black man, African American, or African, or somebody of that descent. He enjoys having that person shine his shoes. And polish now come in all kind of colors. But polish used to be black. Later they made brown shoes and all kinds. And then, you know, they used to dye the leather black. Black was the thing. But later they made different colors. And now at first the black and brown and white. Now you got all kind of polish, right? All kind of different color polish. But it started with black, black. Why is it so important that the black man shines shoes? To some of you, you say, oh, that means nothing. Brother, everything in the language of society means something of great importance. It just depends on what context you're speaking or looking at. Speaking in or looking at. Now, so the black man, he is an important man for shining shoes. And I've heard the expression, maybe some of you heard it. Say, the white man said this. I don't call you boy, because son, pardon me, because you shine. I call you son because you mine. Some of you might have heard the expression. I don't call you boy, I don't call you son because you shine. I call you son because you mine. So he was distinguishing between S-O-N, son, boy, a child, and S-O-S-U-N, son, the enlightened person. The person that has inherited the knowledge from the Heavenly Father. Son. Okay? It's you in. So he distinguished between the two and that joke or that mockery of the Belalian man, the African man, by saying, I don't call you a son because you're mine. I call you a shine, pardon me. I call you son because you're mine, not because you shine. And then put him in a position as a shoe shine boy. Don't you know they had us shining shoes so much and depicted us so much as a shoe shine boy until really when the world think now of a shoe shine person, right away our image comes to their mind. No, that's a fact. When they think of anybody shining shoes, right away one of us comes to their mind because we have been cast in that position for so long and so much. So what's important? Shoe shine boy, what's important? Shine means to make bright. Making bright means either making it bright in knowledge or bright in emotion. Because a person is bright in emotion, they are bright too. The word white, light, bright all go back to the word happy. In a very ancient language, people associated white with happiness, light with happiness, brightness with happiness. Later on, it became to be associated with enlightenment, learning. Because people were sensitive and happy before they were intelligent. When they got the sciences, then they stopped giving the meaning of white or light or brightness as emotional upliftment. They started giving it as learning, enlightenment. So that's the progression of that word, that the white or light comes like that. So shoe shine can either mean bringing light of knowledge to the foundation, to the fundamental life, or it can mean bringing emotionalism, lifting the spirit of the fundamental life. Now, how does he shine the shoes? That should tell us something about, that should let us know what they mean. He shines the shoes with a rag, a shoe shine rag. Right? So he's ragging the shoe, and that's what they say, rag the shoe, right? You of Shine shoe, you know, rag the shoe. He's ragging the shoe. So he's shining the shoe with a rag. Rag means a piece of something, or either a used-up thing that does not have its original quality. So he's shining the shoe with a rag, but he makes them look mighty good. So who is he representing in that depiction? He's representing the dumb preacher. He represents the dumb preacher who takes a piece of the book that's really a rag of the book. He takes a piece of the book that's really nothing but a rag in his hand, and he shines the souls of the people. He shines the shoes, but the shoes represent the soul. He shines the souls of the people with his rag, or with his raggedy religion. Excuse me for doing this. They did it. I'm just telling you what they say. So he shines the shoes. Now tell me, who made Christianity lively in this country? Wasn't it the shoe shine boy? Wasn't it our folks? Our preacher made this religion lively. The spiritual, the old black spiritual, all of that is what really popularized Christianity and turned it into a shining religion in the West. Those early Gentiles were either so bookish-minded, so academic-minded, so logical-minded, that they couldn't do nothing but just lock themselves up in discussions of theology, fine discussions of the logic of the theology of Christianity, or they were nuts out here in the society, wild and crazy, fine brimstone preachers, right? Calvin and the Calvinists, you know about them in history, yeah. Selling spookism and superstition, a bunch of dumb people, that's what they were. And the religion was nothing but a mockery in this country, except for the exclusive quarter of the learned people in Christianity. They represented a small minority, and they were not seen present out in the society, only in institutions of learning, right? Yeah, but it was the masses of the European or Caucasian people that gave Christianity a real primitive pagan look. They preach horrible things, frighten the people into becoming converts, act crazy, act like wild, crazy people. Some of you maybe not haven't been to that church. I have. I've been to some of their churches. When I was a young man, I went to see what they were doing. And they're crazy. They were crazy people. Yeah, they were just drumming fear up in you and everything. There was a few talking good, you know, like the Quakers, brotherly love and decency and human decency, and a few others. But for the whole, the Western world was that Calvinist mentality. Right or wrong, you all correct me if I'm wrong. The Christian masses of the Western world was of that Calvinist mentality. But the Negro, with his freedom movement, his movement to get recognition to his human and social aspirations, he gave a human touch and a human sensitivity to the church. That's right. It was through the black man of America, the African American, that Christianity in America and in the West began to shine. Began to shine. Meaning it began to appeal to the likings of the people. That's what it means. It began to be attractive. It began to be attractive. The black man made it attractive. By doing what? By shining the soul with a rag. Yeah. By shining the soul with a rag. The foot, the shoe is symbolic of the soul. So, actually the shoe covered the whole foot, but it's symbolic of the soul. Shoe in Egyptian mythology, in Egyptian language, meant the spiritual ascendancy. And that's of the nature of the soul. It's the soul. The soul in its ascendancy. You see? So shoe means that, but it covers the whole foot. Now, they call the soul the tender, the very sensitive part of the foot down there, right? That's your soul. Now you look, the soul has an arch right? As an arch. And that arch is uplifted. It keeps that part of the foot off the ground, right? So actually, that part resembles the drawing of Shu in Egyptian mythology. In Egyptian mythology, Shu is drawn as a man standing on the ground with his body bending like that, going all the way up into the sky, and his hands on the ground. Nothing touching but his hand and his toes like this on the ground. His fingers like this. I'll do it with. This is how Shu is. His head down like this. Body arch. And he represents the sky arch. And by interpretation, he represents spiritualism. Spiritualism. And they connect that symbol with your foot, and that's why Shu must stay Shu. They may call it mules, they may call it wedgies, they may call it a lot of things to describe what is happening in the seasonal manipulation of your mind, but they always keep that one word, Shu. Okay, I think we about covered that pretty good. Yeah. All right. Just a few comments and we finish it. Now, polish. The polish and the shoe is what shines it, right? Another word for polish is what? Wax. Wax, right? Wax, what does wax mean? To seal, bring together. It's to bring together. But wax is used as a sealer, right? And it seals up worn places or holes. It just covers it over, right? So it hides the damage. And it protects the damage from exposure, right? But it doesn't heal. That shoe ain't healed. That's the same old raggedy, worn-out shoe, man. It's just covered. The polish has covered it over and been shined up to make it look like it's bright and new. But it's the same old worn-out shoe. Now, yes, it's called polish. Now, what is polish? Means something to make shine, to make bright, to make shine. And it's a paste, right, or a wax. And what is it made out of? Fine powder. Right? It's so fine that it has no grit. Smooth as it can get. It's been fined down so much that it's real smooth, like grease. But it's not grease, it's actually polish. It's different. So wax like polish. Okay. Look at the word fine now. Fine. Look at the word fine in the word refine. And look, why do you have a word like this with fine in it? Confine. Fine, refine, confine. Why would you want to lock up something fine? Because they say confine means to lock up, right? I can understand that fine means bright, good. I can see why you would refine something, means bring it back to its fineness, right? But I can't see why you would confine something. It doesn't make too much sense. But if we are talking about knowledge is fine in the Bible, also means brilliant, wise, bright, intelligent. If it applies not to physical things so much, but to the essence, to the wisdom, principles, etc., then I can understand it, because I know that's what they have done. They have confined, they have locked up knowledge, right? So they say they put you in a prison. They confine you. So here, I knew something we left out. Let me close it up here. Here, they confine you by putting you into a prison. P-R-I-S-O-N. But they also have something they call a P-R-I-S-M prism. And some of the people in this society, they don't call prison. They call it prism. Yeah, he's in prison. They don't say prison. Just listen. And you hear somebody say prison. Oh, they in prison here. In prison. They imprison him. Instead of saying imprisoned him, they imprison him. Or he was in prison. Oh, he's in prison. Instead of saying in prison, they cut it short and it sounds like in prison. Like a prison, P-R-I-S-M, you see, prison. Okay, prism means what? Prism is a solid with a certain design. And it's transparent. It's what they call homogeneous, consistent throughout. Whatever, it can't be made of different kinds of material, impure. It's whatever it is in one part of it, it's that throughout. And its shape is consistent. Its pattern is very consistent, uniform and consistent. It has three sides, built like an angle, in the shape of an angle. And it permits a spectrum, a light to come into it, pardon me, and it shows the spectrum of that light, right? It shows the light in its different colors. So in other words, it manifests the hidden components of light, right? It reveals the hidden components of light. Then they have a word called prison, which is made to confine, right? So what is the prison symbolic of then? Why they got to have prison? Don't you know prisons are too costly for civilization now? There's another way to handle that. They have to do them and bring them out there and beat the shit out of them and kill some of them and it'll be all right, be done. They could control crime much better by not building any house for any criminal. Just bring him out, bring him before the public TV and beat his butt real good. Send him on back home. That's all. Cost the taxpayers nothing but a few moments on the TV. A few moments to watch public television. That's all. Yeah. Beat him real good. Send him on back home. Or kill him and bury him on national TV. Same day. Yeah, that's all it takes. And it could be much better. But prison is a necessity in the scheme of this world. It's part of their language scheme. They have to keep it. Part of the game. Part of the criminal economics. They need it. They have to have it. Now, dear beloved people, we have shared with you things that will make heaven and earth rock and shake and go into convulsion. Well, if it wasn't time, I wouldn't be able to say it. That's right. It's time. Then they got another prison inside the prison. Solitary confinement. Yeah, solitary confinement. So they tell you that they got two programs for the free people. One is to restrict their freedom. And the other one is to deny them any opportunity to express themselves to anybody. Except them own, except themselves. And you tell me if that ain't the program of this society? If they don't like what you're saying, they limit your exposure to only your own self. That's solitary confinement. But everybody out there is in jail. They just confined. But the Muslims, we are in solitary confinement. They don't want us on the media. They don't want us reaching the masses of people because they don't want what we got to say reaching other minds. You see? So that's solitary confinement for us. We are in a prison within the prison. But we don't mind. I think they did the same thing to Joseph, didn't they? And finally got in so much trouble they had to go and get him out. Say, hey man, we heard you might be able to help us. And you never can tell, that may happen again. Yeah, they might get in so much trouble, they might say, look, it hurts me to my heart. It tears my liver out. But can you tell that Muhammad, what's his name? war with Dean? Yeah, war with Dean. We like to talk to him. War with Dean. Yeah, that's what I war with. I war with the Dean. Assalamu alaikum. I don't think we should have questions today. Because it's almost nightfall. You hear that expression? Nightfall. It's almost nightfall, so we should be running in. So we thank you for being so patient here today. And we hope from now on we get you out real quick, like 45 minutes. Yeah, that's all it should be. 45 minutes is enough. So we're gonna have a closing dua in just a minute. No one gave me an announcement, so I don't know if the brother gonna come. Okay, we're gonna have brother come up with some announcements, and then we'll make a closing dua.
Assalamu alaikum. I can't even speak on it, so will you please bear with me? The announcements for this evening, we want to announce that coming November, Imam Wasadim Muhammad will be giving a live radio broadcast on KEST in the evening at 5 p.m., so don't miss it. More information will be coming. At 8:30 at a regular time, it will be live. So please don't miss that. Secondly, there is a banquet welcoming Imam Wasadim Muhammad for next Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available from Brother Abdul Rahman Nadir, Brother Muhammad Yusuf Ali, Brother Zarif, and others. So please see them. Next, we have an order for a collective buying, and I'd like to ask you by a show of hands.